The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. 74 degrees, our current temperature in Reno at 11:06. I'm John Potter, live and local. Erica Rhodes is appearing at the Carson Nugget Comedy Club next Saturday, 6 and 8 o'clock showtimes. Tickets at ccnugget.com. Let's go to the phone. Hi, Erica.
Hey. How are you?
Good. Well, tell us about you. Tell us about your show.
Well, I'm a comedian. I've been doing it 15 years, and I'm excited to come back. I went to the Nugget last year, so I'm excited to come again.
Oh, you were here before, Nevada, Carson City before. Was that your first time in Carson City?
No, I think I actually had been there one other time, but I didn't perform at the casino. I performed somewhere else.
How would you describe Carson City to your fellow comedians?
It's near Reno.
Okay. I know you dread these DJ interviews, but I really enjoy them. And I was looking at your ex bio. It says you like the ocean, coffee, and short sentences. My kind of person.
Yes.
So, and oh my gosh, you have a Wikipedia page. We've had comedians on the show before, but you. So much interesting stuff. I think people are going to know you when I tell them that starting at 10 years old, you began your long stint on Prairie Home Companion. You were the conscience in Prairie Home Companion. And in the movie, you were Daisy Buchanan. What was that character?
I don't know what that is, so I wouldn't go by Wikipedia. I did start on a radio show called A Prairie Home Companion when I was 10, and I played Garrison Keillor's conscience, and then I did the show for a long time, and I got to act with Alice and Janney, Meryl Streep, Martin Sheen, and performed all over, including the Hollywood Bowl and all sorts of great places. So, I've been performing my whole life.
That's a big thing. And people still talk about Prairie Home Companion. Do you miss it?
Yeah, and I'm actually doing another tour with Garrison Keillor, just the two of us. We're going to do a bunch of shows in October together.
You're related to him, aren't you?
By marriage. My aunt married him.
Okay. So, wow. How's he doing?
He's doing well. He's still performing all the time and writing books and, he's still going. He just turned 84, I believe.
84, and I sensed that he still wanted to keep going. You're right. So what can people expect on your show next Saturday after this Saturday, next weekend? What can people expect from Erica Rhodes on stage at the Carson City Nugget?
Well, I hope they'll laugh. That's what we hope, is that they'll be jokes, and then they'll laugh at the jokes and have a good time.
What do you like to, do you pick on men, right? Every female comedian I've ever known or seen loves to pick on men.
Like you have a resentment.
Well, no, I'm getting it out.
That's healthy.
You don't do politics, do you?
I don't really. I was dipping my toe a little bit. The problem with politics is you even say one word that sounds political and you lose everybody. And it's funny because you don't lose just one side. You lose everyone because everybody wants to escape right now, So it's best to avoid, I find. I'm pretty personal. I talk about my life and talk about being a woman, getting older.
Still being single. Oh, you're single.
Yes.
Well, you dated dated a 50-year-old man who wanted to be a pirate. I caught that on the internet. What's the story there?
Well, you know, like most men, he was really sweet. And then after a while, I was like, you know, I think we just want different things. Like, I want a committed, loving relationship, and he wanted to be a pirate. And that's what he really said. He's like, I just want to be a pirate. Like, I just want to sail the seas and be a pirate.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he really said that to me.
I last wanted to be a pirate. I was like 5 years old. Oh my
That's
gosh.
What I thought. But no, he didn't want to grow up. He had a Peter Pan complex, I think.
Well, this is a nationwide tour you're doing. I went on your website. I can't believe your schedule. It's like you're doing two shows every 2 days. I mean, one tour you did.
I travel a lot.
You must like it. A tour you did, you called it the Call Me Crazy Tour. Why would anybody call you crazy?
Well, you know, sometimes when you go through a breakup and a guy calls you crazy, but I don't get offended. I think a lot of women are like, don't call me crazy. I'm like, please call me crazy. At least you'll remember me. I don't think it's insulting.
No, I got you. Two comedy albums, also America's Got Talent. You were on that. Who liked you on America's Got Talent? How close did you get? And was it a good experience?
Yeah, it was a really good experience. I did two rounds, and Sofia Vergara said I was her favorite comedian that was ever on the show. Mm-hmm. And then Howie Mandel likes me because he does comedy, so he gets it. Ah. And Simon Cowell liked me at first, and then he kind of turned on me, but that's okay. That happens with him, you know. He's a little unpredictable.
Yeah. And you did a comedy cruise? I've never heard of such a thing, a comedy cruise. How does that work?
I'm not really sure which one you're talking about. Are you talking about the Matt Rife one? I'm doing a Matt Rife cruise next year.
That was it. It was called, I'm sorry, Matt Rife's Comedy Cruise. Okay, so this wasn't like a carnival thing cruise. This was just probably a fun boat ride, huh?
Yeah, he's just doing a one-off on the weekend next in February.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. This is going to be great next Saturday. Let me think. Yeah, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, Carson City Nugget. Get your tickets at ccnugget.com. I'm going to take a chance on you here, Erica Rhodes. I'm going to give you a minute right now to get folks to buy their tickets and come see you. Go ahead, dear.
Oh, wow. I didn't know I had to do a pitch.
Yes, sales pitch.
Well, I went on a date recently, and the guy said I look like JonBenet Ramsey. And I was like, oh, thank you. And
you do actually.
And I said, you look like the killer if they found him. And we had a fun night of role playing. And I did that joke on a local morning news show, and it went viral. So a lot of people saw that.
What did you do that went viral? Let me catch this. Go ahead. What was that again?
The joke I just did, I was trying to pitch. You gave me 30 seconds to pitch. So I was like, well, I'll do the joke that went viral about a guy saying I look like JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, okay. But that's true, right?
It's a the story or the joke or what? I'm not sure what you're asking.
Tell me the story.
The story is what I just said. I went on a date. The guy said I look like JonBenet Ramsey. She were still alive. And I was like, you look like the killer if they found him. And we had a fun night of role playing.
Sorry, I missed the end of that. This does go down as the worst radio interview you've ever done. Don't talk about me on the stage in Des Moines, okay?
Is this live? Are we doing this live?
Yes.
Or is it?
Of course, yeah, it's live. Oh, I love these phone interviews.
Well, really don't look at a Wikipedia page because it's always... anyone can work on your Wikipedia page.
I thought the person who had a Wikipedia page about them controlled it. You don't control that then.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
We don't always. Sometimes anybody can add stuff to it.
Okay. All right. Well, Erica Rhodes, you're going to have a lot of fun. Carson people love you from what I hear. Carson City Nugget.
Yeah. great. They're great.
Next Saturday, right. Folks. Yeah, ccnugget.com. Thank you, Erica, for talking, putting up with me.
It's all good. I'm glad all I right, had my dude. Coffee.
Okay.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, man. Okay. 11:16 is our time. I'm John Potter live. I'm sorry I missed the punchline. I didn't.
Well, I have a punchline for a different joke for that you started.
Yeah.
It says, you said you like short sentences. I'd she prefer not that. To get caught.
Oh, okay.
You know, police, you know, caught, sentencing. Yeah.
Okay.
That was an explanation. If you have to explain it, it's no good. So.
Comedy is so much better when you're in the club and you're having two drinks. It's a tough thing early in the morning period. But Erica Rhodes, Carson City Nugget, next Saturday, showtime's 6 and 8 o'clock. Okay. All right. I'm sure she'll always remember me with fondness. I'm going to be back. We're going to be talking to you. We'll read some texts that you're sending me or give us a call. 775-884-9910. I'm always just this close to giving my personal phone number one of these days. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:17.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Okay, thanks for the texts. Here's one. John, we all like short sentences, but really we'd prefer not to get caught in the first place. Oh, that's where you got it from, Craig.
That's right. I plagiarized that one. Sorry.
Okay, you plagiarizer. All right, let's go to the phones. Ken calling from Sparks. Ken, yes. Ken is on the line. Hey, Ken. Good morning. I'm John.
How you
I'm
doing?
Glad you called. Go ahead.
Top of the morning, John. Good to hear your voice. Big fan of yours for many years. Remember when you were on the mountain? Followed you over to Channel 2. Now you're over here. Never forget when you're up on the mountain, 9/11 happened. And went on and on and on that day. And it's like, man, they're really beating that dead horse. And then to find out that, something really did happen.
Yeah. Boy, it's funny you bring that up. I was just thinking about that day and how awful I was on the air because we didn't have any idea what was going on. Everybody thought it was just a horrible accident. And
I said I have Ken Wheeler coming.
Who's talking to you there?
I can hear you.
Anyway, Ken, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Ten-4.
Oh, must be on the job, huh?
Yes, sir.
What's the 10-4? What are you doing?
I'm a flagger.
Oh, a flagger. Oh, my gosh. I bet you got stories.
As you can tell by the time I go by just now.
Okay. Anything else? Yeah, go ahead.
You talking about horror stories in traffic. You ain't seen nothing until you've been on the road professionally.
Oh, I've
seen a
lot.
People get real crazy.
I've seen a lot, my friend.
Can't hear you, John.
I've seen a lot, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, give us a fun road story.
About the worst one that I had, gal was driving into the sun so she didn't see me, putting on makeup, eating breakfast, talking on her cell phone.
My goodness.
Car and I got a bike.
Well, Ken, I'll let you go. You sound like a busy man, my friend.
No problem, John.
All right. Take care.
You have a good day, and I'll talk to you later.
There's a multitasker right there. Ken, thank you so much. Don't be a stranger and keep in touch with us.
I've done that job.
You have?
I have been a flagger in my, about 10 years ago. I was for 3 years and getting called out in the middle of the night to direct cars around a broken water main so Tumwa could go out and fix it at 3:00 in the morning.
I bet you dreaded that.
No, I didn't, because they paid prevailing wage. So whatever the union people were making, I made. That happens with government, a lot of government contracts. You pay what the prevailing wage is. If they don't have an employee that can do it, and they're taken from the temp service or whoever, mm-hmm. You get that pay wage. So,
I think people are just horrible to flaggers.
Oh, yeah. I've gone through. I was down on Plumas by the old Billinghurst gym,
mm-hmm.
and was down there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like motorcycle races were racing through the up Plumas, and it was like, no, come on, guys. One of them almost did a jump over the pit. So I was like, yeah, got law enforcement out there, but.
Well, and plus they, and I know this because I walk 2 hours a day to work and back home. I have such close encounters from people. I'm walking the sidewalk and there's a driveway to like a strip mall, or there's a driveway to an office park, like the one at Plum in Arlington. And people turning into it, maybe it's they're ticked off at you, but they make it a point to drive as close to your body as possible. And I encountered this when I used to bike to work back in the Channel 2 days. There are some people that purposely want to get super close just to give you a little scare because they don't want you on the road.
Yeah, well, but people don't realize, and I don't know if we talked about this with our highway patrol person before, but mm-hmm. it's from the time a person steps off the curb to the time they step on the opposite curb. Mm. That's how the vehicle has to wait until you have totally cleared the intersection. And
you're right.
Both directions.
Now, some people I've been honked at and been given a lot of middle fingers because I will approach a intersection. I have the green light, okay? But the walk light, these walk lights are ridiculous. I mean, you get there when the light just turns green. You approach it. You push the walk light then, and it doesn't. You'll have to wait till the next light change.
It has to go through a full cycle.
Right, it has to go through a full cycle. It doesn't automatically say walk. You have to push the button. But if you get there 5 seconds after the light turns green, it's stupid. it really is. So I do confess, well, it's not against the law, but I'll cross an intersection with a green light with the walk sign flashing red. And I had this lady, she's honking her horn and pointing at the walk sign, and I point to her, I point to the traffic sign, which is green. It was a nonverbal massacre fight at the corner of Plumas and, where was this? Plumas and something. Oh, my gosh. But there's a lot of, I don't know, people are tensed up. They're not happy when they're driving. And
it's the worst time to be not happy.
You know, when school went into session, I think Monday or the last Monday, I walked by Wooster. And there's a light right at Wooster at Plum. I do not know why they cannot station an officer. I'm on the verge of calling and suggesting it, but it should be common knowledge that you want to have an officer to catch red light runners at the corner of a high school, a very big high school in Reno. And it happens every single time. When the turn light, the green turn light to turn into Wooster, you're standing there on Plum, and when that turn light goes off and the light turns red, there's at least three cars that still turn in and barely miss a couple of students. And this happens every year. And I've been here for, 4 or 5 years? I've seen it every school day. There'll be three cars that after the light turns red, they just try to squeeze in. And nobody's around to get him. And, I mean, you could rack a fortune there in tickets from people.
Oh, there's
doing
a lot
that.
Of places. Could
yeah.
That.
The red light running is obscene in this town. I don't mean to pick on this town. I bet it's a nationwide thing.
It's all
thing.
Over the place, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cultural change that makes people this way. And it's really stupid. You're just, losing 2.5 minutes of your time to wait till the next light. Oh, this is a fun show, isn't it? Ever since, it's that comedian's fault. We're going to take a break for Fox News And Greg Neft has been live covering these wildfires. I have to tell you, there's good news in that. A lot of progress was made while you were sleeping. So we're going to break for that. Then I'm here for the final half hour. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:30.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time, 11:34. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm looking right now at live video of a major crash. This is northbound 395 right at the Stead Boulevard exit. Sorry, I haven't talked about this, but it's been going on for 90 minutes when I first saw this. Now, the backup was backed up. Yeah. Go back to English class, all the way to, I think, past Golden Valley. Right now, the backup is a lot better, but they haven't opened up that exit to Stead Boulevard, and it is totally blocked off. So this is a major one with hopefully not terrible sad news at the end of it, but right now everybody's trying to merge into one lane. I mean, not just the exit is blocked off, but the highway. You're sharing just one half lane. You're driving partly on the shoulder as you bypass the Stead Boulevard exit. I had a conversation with a listener at my Starbucks last Sunday morning, and we got into talking about our bad traffic stories, about the drivers on the road who did this to him and that driver who did that to me. And he finally says to me, he says, this is all going to get a whole lot better once everybody is in self-driving cars. And I said, I refuse to accept self-driving cars until they make printers that are reliable and work. And he said the technology, well, he took it seriously. He goes, the technology has long been ready, and printers work exactly how their companies want them to work. And yeah, they make you buy expensive ink and a new printer every couple of years, which prompted a belly laugh from the barista. Okay, I heard on Fox News just now, Iran, the war is really a big story today. You'll hear it top of the hour. Nothing really major happened. This is another negotiation thing. But President Trump, they had tape of President Trump talking about, okay, so people are paying a few more cents for gas, but it's for a noble mission. Supermarket prices, restaurant prices, fuel prices, which in turn affects energy prices. But let's pick one, okay, aside from eggs. Supermarket prices have never been higher. Groceries are absolutely high. And President Trump has not done what he was hired to do by lowering inflation. The biggest focus, one of the biggest right now, is inflation. It's the highest thing. And immigration is now way down on that list. Well, why is that? It's because he solved it. He fixed illegal immigration wonderfully, amazingly. And it'll be interesting and comical to watch the left make their next excuse when they get the presidency, God forbid. But if and when they do get the presidency next, it'll be interesting to watch the Democrats trying to lie to us and tell us why the border can't be secured. Because what Joe Biden did with the invasion of 8 to 20 million people in 4 years, that will be done again by the left. It's the new strategy. It's not a replacement theory. It's replacement of voters, a replacement to the soon-to-be rapid loss of the post-World War II baby boomers who are dying off. That's it. And so they're going to invite more illegals to come here. You know, you're fine. And then you'll get a whole bunch of people in the census, which in turn, that gets you more congressional seats to serve the higher population centers, the cities that vote blue. I mean, this is obvious. It's as plain as day. And then eventually they'll try to get them to be able to vote. And, of course, they're going to vote for the people that helped them, the Democrats. So that is happening. But Trump was hired to tame inflation, to take care of the higher prices, and he hasn't. his Iran war is doing the opposite. You know, I mean, it's now the Iran war. It is a justified war, but he is prosecuting it horribly. Now, the war could have been won by us 2 months ago. Instead, we have President Trump. He's dancing with Iran, pretending they want a deal. They want a deal so badly. All they want is a deal. And before that, it's, oh, we're going to bomb them and we're going to decapitate them. We're going to take out their energy plants. We're going to take over Karg Island. And the next day, nope, we got a deal. There is no deal with terrorists. We don't make deals with terrorists. Terrorists don't want to make deals. They want to kill us, and they want a nuclear bomb. And to achieve their objective of completely controlling the Middle East. And, I mean, I voted for President Trump, but he can make as many excuses as he wants why he's not finishing the job. They want a deal so badly when they don't. And we're going to do this, and then you don't do it. It's just becoming absurd, the level of dancing back and forth with, I'm going to decapitate them, I'm going to take out their power plants. And when he said he was going to take Karg Island and take out the power plants, he said he was going to take the island right there in the Persian Gulf. And I was so excited. I said, finally, he's going to do this, finally. And yes, it'll come at a cost. We'll lose some soldiers. We are losing them already. But the whole thing is, you know, when he was going to take Karg Island and that kind of stuff and take the Iranian power plants offline, I said, you know, that's exactly what you should do. You should have done it a month ago. No, 2 months ago. And then 12 hours later, he backs down. And then the next time he threatens serious stuff. And then again, oh, we got a deal. It's total BS. Bring us the finish. Finish the job. The attack was righteous. The war is righteous, but finish it. This could have been over 2 months ago, and we're still playing patty cake with them, which it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace because we are so much more powerful than them, but we're choosing not to win it. Just great. I mean, it makes me think about like Vietnam. We absolutely could have won Vietnam, but we didn't allow our military to do what it could do to finish the job. Right? Same thing with North Korea, the Korean War. There were ships of ours there, as well as by Vietnam, that we could have easily launched missiles from and done a lot of damage to win, and we chose not to. So just finish the job or don't do it. Now, before you call to yell at my producer, Craig, or write emails to Jerry, again, I said this week, or I said it now, that at its heart, it's a righteous war. Iran is broken. And they had it coming. They've been killing American service members all of my adult life, more than 600 in Iraq alone. They had it coming, and they'd gotten it. And we settled the score, and we put them back in their place. And that's a win for us, and it's a win for the world order. But it's gone on way too long, and it's cost us, you and me. It's cost inflation. It's righteous inflation, right? But it would have gone... would have been gone a lot quicker if we just finished it. So that's kind of where I stand on this inflation stuff. That, and I think there's a lot of stupidity with people ordering stuff and they're being fools about it. So and in some ways, that's a you problem. You know, don't live beyond your means and then complain. All right, I'll shut up now. Just a long time coming. Haven't talked about the inflation or the war for months, and hopefully it'll be a few more months before I bring it up again. But that there is as boomer dad as I'm going to get today. But that bit about don't keep ordering stuff, I see the Amazon van go up and down my street every day. Okay, those are Kathy's orders, but there's another van, and it's always going by, and I'm very cost conscious. A lot of you ladies would not bond with me for that reason. I'll tell you where that starts. My mom was a real depression mom. Her family, well, it was, you know, her dad, her mom, and her. She was the only child. No doubt, because that's who my grandparents could probably barely afford. Grandpa was a car salesman, and when the depression hit, nobody was buying cars. couldn't have picked a more untimely occupation. Grandma was a housewife and then worked anywhere she could during the Depression, mainly as a waitress in the downtown department store coffee shop. Department stores had their own restaurants back then. But Grandma, you know, she had the heart of an angel. She would make some money, but then she would find somebody who needed her tip money more than her, and she would give it to them. So I guess what I'm trying to say is my mom was super strict with money. Even when we finally were living very well, Dad opened up copying machine distributorships all over New York State. He had 6 locations, did great until Xerox came along and kind of wiped him out. And from that point on, Dad paid just the college tuition. I paid for my food. I paid for my dorm fees, my car, gas for my car, my dates, basically everything but tuition. My living expenses, I had to work. And in college, I worked 2 jobs to afford that. I was a movie theater projectionist and late afternoon, early evening news reporter for the 1,000-watt AM station in my college town. Then I graduated, lost the low student dorm fee, and so I had to rent a place, and it was a boarding house with a very old guy. It was with down the hall a real alcoholic and somebody down the other hall who had a criminal record. And that's where I was so broke. I tried to cook a frozen 98-cent pizza on my hot plate. And I lived in poverty for about 6 months after college, and it bummed me out, mostly because of the implication it had on my self-worth. But still, in the grand scheme of things, I, and today likely you, could be doing so much worse. Imagine if you were born in India or Bangladesh or the USSR. They would kill you for what you have, you capitalist pig. Or imagine being born anywhere 500 years ago. We won quite the lottery living here, right? Yeah, always work to be better, but we got it pretty good. But I don't like the inflation, and this thing should be wrapped up. Should have been wrapped up months ago. I'm John Potter, live and local. Phone lines open 884-9910 or text that. And our final segment is up next. It's you and me. We'll update you on the fires and get you going on this beautiful Saturday. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:47.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Hello. FM News Talk time. It's 11:50. I'm John Potter, live and local. Let's see. We got one text I received about my comment that most American high school graduates have never read a book cover to cover. And somebody writes back with one word, source? It was a news story. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but that's when I was talking about state literacy. This happened recently. Let's talk about meat. Okay, this happened recently, but it really hasn't received much coverage on the news. I love talking about stuff that the news is ignoring, and this is one of them. Lab-grown meat. Fake meat. Now, I'm going to talk about Nevada in this here pretty soon here, but fake meat is now banned in 8 states, 8 Republican-led states: Alabama, Florida, Indiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Texas have made it illegal to sell or produce cultivated meat. What a name. Producers don't like, you see, they don't like the name fake meat, so that's its name. The push to ban fake meat has strong backing from Health Secretary RFK Jr. and many farmers who argue the country should focus on real natural food. And this is consumer deception. They say lab-grown meat is an unnatural, ultra-processed product that has not been proven safe. Maybe Nevada should ban lab-grown beef, which is, they're doing it. They're making this lab-grown beef, and just like AI, I fear it's going to blossom. They say, let me see here. I tell you, despite all the health talk and the we want to protect people talk, I think the real purpose of these bans is to protect our traditional livestock industry, and that's what we have in Nevada. And I have spoken to you about our ranchers and our meat and why some meat packages, they don't have the U.S. Flag anymore and the product of USA label. I talked about that, I think, last month, because more of our meat actually comes from other countries. Does anyone else seek out grass-fed beef? It really does taste better. It's a lot better to me. And I was just looking at a post from a restaurant, which I admire, and whose owners are wonderful people, and it said they were concerned about the conditions in which the animals whose meat they ultimately served were raised in, and so they were making this decision to move away from a factory farm produced meat, and they would use grass-fed beef. And it's a free country, you know, do what you want to do, but I think sometimes when people talk about farming and agriculture, no disrespect, but sometimes we may have limited understandings of what goes on. For example, grass-fed beef is a very nice thing. It'll not be the juicy steak to which you're accustomed, you know, letting the cows eat some grain to finish them toward the end of their life is kind of how we get the marbled steaks and have the traditional beef that most of us are accustomed to. For us, grass-fed is a very nice feature. And, you know, we have some folks who produce grass-fed cattle around here, and that's tremendous. But many of those will finish with corn, and having a cow eat corn is like giving a kid a birthday cake. They like it, and it makes them a more desirable product. You know, most of the beef that we buy at the store is going to be finished on grain because it's what the consumer wants. And if you're the cow and you've been eating grass, and somebody all of a sudden starts giving you corn, you feel like you just won the lottery. And you have some places that say, well, we don't sell or serve anything from factory farms. Well, what's a factory farm? If we're honest about it, it's one that operates with modern efficiency, that uses science and the very best practices we have to generate agricultural products. And here's the deal in my life. I want to live out in the country. I actually do want a couple of goats, maybe a cow for milk. I want a couple of sheep or chickens in the yard. I want a couple of rabbits, maybe a few hives of bees, maybe a pig. I don't know. I want to think that all my food comes from such a place and that we all feel good. And if you buy your stuff from Joe the Farmer, that's great. That allows Joe the Farmer to have a living. You get the kind of food you want. But the deal is, if you took all the Joe the Farmers and all the factory farms like we have in our state and mind our country, and if they become the sole source of food in the United States, we would have rampant starvation, right? And so we turn to agriculture, to our neighbors who work in it and say, feed us, and they create systems that do. And they want to keep the animals in good health. That's crucial to the farmer, because if the animal is under stress, if the animal's not healthy and well, the animal doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It doesn't lay the eggs, doesn't give the milk, doesn't grow meat. Farmers are smart people who have consciences, who are caring about their animals as compassionate human beings. And people who understand that animal, whatever it is, needs to be in the best possible condition so it may be the most productive, despite others peering over their shoulder from afar who think they know more about farming than the people who actually do it. People who believe that they have superior morals or ethics. There's a certain arrogance, you know, that they're, I don't think is justified by reality. I don't think because you wear bib overalls or have a tractor parked out beside your house that all of a sudden you become somebody who doesn't care about the needs and interests of animals. And I think it's just the opposite. I think people who actually deal with animals might know more about them and might have greater care and compassion for them. So I was looking up the numbers on Nevada this morning. Elko County leads the state with about 2.2 million acres of farmland driven by massive cattle ranching and native grass grazing land. Second biggest agricultural county is closer to us. It's just north of Gerlach, stretching out to Winnemucca off 80. That's Humboldt County with over 945,000 acres of farm and cattle raising land. Eureka County is third with over 602,000 acres of agricultural land. These people working these lands are in a very successful, very crucial industry, and they take care of their animals, and they take good care of us. We ate last night. You ate last night. Our society is peopled with folks who apparently are eating very well. So I would just politely say that some of our attitudes about, you know, I only want animals done this way, again, they can make their choice, but have a little bit more faith and confidence in the people who are engaged in farming, agriculture, ranching. Back to grass-fed beef in Reno. I think your best bet is Grateful Gardens in Midtown. They have a Grateful Burger, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef. And now I'm hungry. Thank you for putting up with me. You folks are very kind to do that. I'll talk to you again next Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Craig, have yourself a great weekend, and thanks for your help there running the show from Carson City. Have a super weekend, folks. Love you all. Fox News is next. Stay tuned.